It is an honor to be with you this morning, and we're going to be continuing our current series about preaching on topics of people's choosing, and so we'll do that for this morning and one other Sunday before I begin my new series in the book of Acts. And so I'm going to be preaching from the book of Galatians this morning about the state of our nation and how America can be saved. So let's turn in our copies of God's Word to Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. And Galatians chapter 4 can be found as well on page 1156 in the pew Bibles in front of you. So let us turn to Galatians chapter 4 together. And if you are able to, let us stand for the reading of God's Word. And the Apostle Paul says, by the Holy Spirit, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. And now let us pray together. O Lord our God, you are God and you alone. You are the maker of all things, and therefore you are sovereign and supreme over all. You rule over the kingdoms of this world and give them to whoever you will. You are in heaven and we are on earth, and you do whatever pleases you. As your children, we delight in both your steadfast love and your sovereignty. You are our protector, defender, shield, and sword. You are the strong tower to which we run and find refuge from the storms of life. To you belong all dominion, majesty, power, and authority, now and forevermore. You are the only wise king who is all-knowing and all-powerful and everywhere present. You have made us for yourself, and we are restless until we find our rest in you. We praise you, O Lord, for answering our prayers time and time again. We have so many answers to our prayers, and you are so good and faithful to us. You are so merciful, O God. You are a God who hears our prayers because Jesus Christ is interceding for us. Jesus is our atoning sacrifice and the head of his church. We pray that you would grant us a deeper love for Jesus, a greater zeal to serve you from hearts that are being transformed by the Holy Spirit, a greater resolve to carry out your purpose for our life. As we think about what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Galatians, we pray that you would free us from idolatry and grant us greater repentance as we follow you. Bless the preaching and hearing of your word, we ask in the powerful name of Jesus, who is Lord of all. Amen. And you may be seated. In the book of Judges in the Old Testament, at the end of the book, it says that Israel had no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. The time of the judges was a time of great suffering for Israel, because after they moved into the land of Israel, the people of God turned away from the Lord time and time again. They instead chose to worship and serve the idols of the nations around them rather than the one true and living God. And because of their idolatry and disobedience, God had to discipline them by sending to them foreign oppressors who would persecute them and would cause them great suffering and pain and take away from them their property and their food. And so the people of Israel, when they were heavy under the hand of God's discipline, would cry out to God for deliverance, and God would send to them judges who would deliver them from their enemies, and they would turn back to God in repentance. But then the next generation would forget about what God did for them, and they would go back to their old ways. They would go back to their sin and their idolatry, and the process would start all over again. And even though the historical events of the book of Judges are far removed from us today, America is very much like Israel in the time of the judges. We are a nation that has forgotten about the true God, and as a result, we do what is right in our own eyes. We have disregarded God and his word, and our nation is given up to all manner of sin. Our nation is a nation that is deeply divided and deeply sick. We are a nation that is filled with pride and idolatry. people do whatever they want to their own harm and the harm of others around them. The percentage of Americans who claim to be born-again Christians is getting lower and lower. Church attendance in our nation is at an all-time low. And the percentage of Americans who hold to a biblical worldview and beliefs is shockingly small. In 2021, Barna Research did a survey of the religious beliefs of Americans, and they asked them different questions about the Bible and what they believe. And they found out from their survey that only 6% of the people that they surveyed held to a biblical worldview. And what that means is that if you were to encounter 20 people at random as you go about your life, only one person out of 20 would hold to beliefs that correspond to the doctrines and teachings of the Bible. What most people believe in is a mixture of Christianity and paganism. They hold to a syncretistic belief in the God of the Bible and the God of our culture. Their beliefs are a mixture of Christianity, which they've gotten from our culture and from the church in our day, and they hold to beliefs that are common in our culture today. And so America is becoming a post-Christian society. We are moving further and further away from the beliefs of the Bible, and our culture has given acceptance to and approval of all the sins that are so commonly accepted in our society today. And because we've rejected God and His Word, crime is out of control in our nation. 2021 was a record year for crime in many of the big cities in our nation, like Chicago. And when criminals are not punished, that motivates other criminals to break the law even more. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, about crime. Solomon says, "Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil." When people are not punished for their crimes, that encourages other criminals to break the law even more severely. America suffers from an epidemic of mass murder, especially at schools, a place where children should feel safe. And I want to remind you of some of the mass shootings that have taken place in our nation. In 1999, our nation was shocked by the murder of 23 people at Columbine High School. In 2007, 32 people were shot and killed at Virginia Tech University. In 2012, a shooter killed 27 innocent children and teachers at Sandy Hook Elementary School. In 2018, 17 people were killed at Majori Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida. That same year, 10 people were murdered by a shooter at Santa Fe High School. And that hits close to home for me because Santa Fe High School was in the same district as Friendswood High School, where I went to high school. And I played against Santa Fe High School in football. And this year, a gunman killed 21 children and teachers at Uvalde Elementary School. The people who committed these crimes are truly evil, and God will punish them one day in hell if He has not done so already. Part of the reason why there is so much violence in our nation is because of the breakdown of the family. Because in our nation, we have rejected God's plan for the family and marriage. And as a result, so many young people are left without instruction in the ways of God. If we do not teach our children the Word of God, the world will teach them sin. And drug addiction, as well, is on the rise in our nation. I have seen firsthand the damage that addiction causes as a pastor and as a first responder. Addicts try to numb the pain they are experiencing by turning to drugs and other things, rather than taking their pain and their sin to God in true faith and repentance. And there is a great deal of racial disharmony in our nation. Our land is very divided among ethnic lines, and we saw that after the killing of George Floyd and others. There are a lot of people in our nation who are really hurting and angry at the state of our world and our country. And over 60 million unborn children have been killed by abortion in our nation. And every year, over 600,000 unborn children die as a result of abortion. But thankfully, and praise to God, that number should go down now that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Though in Nevada, which is a very liberal state, it still is going to remain legal. And many companies are proud to pay for the travel expenses of their female employees to go out of state to get abortions. And our nation just finished a month-long celebration of the sin of pride, among other sins. Our nation today is not much different from the Roman Empire in the first century. And the Apostle Paul wrote about the pagan Gentiles in his day in Romans chapter 1. Paul writes about what it was like to live among the Gentiles. He says in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 32, about his world in his day. He wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them." In our culture today, if you do not celebrate sin, you are seen as part of the problem. If you call sinners to repent, you are seen as being hateful. But in reality, what you are doing is loving. It is loving to call people to faith and repentance in Jesus, because we don't want to see people go to hell. We want to see people saved from their sins and find eternal life and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Christians should be the most loving people in the world. But our culture today has rejected the Bible and the God of the Bible. Our nation indeed is very sick. And so what can be done about it? How can America be saved? Our nation is sick because it does not know the true God and is instead enslaved to false gods. Paul writes this in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Our scripture for this morning. He writes to the Galatian Christians that formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. Paul writes these words to Christians, and he describes to them their former way of life. This is the person you used to be. You were lost. You were without hope and without God in the world. You had no salvation and no forgiveness. You did not know the one true God, and you were instead enslaved and held in bondage, in slavery, to idols, to false gods that you worshipped and served, that had no real existence, that could not save you. And Paul writes this letter to the Galatian Christians because there were false teachers in Galatia who are trying to lead them astray. These false teachers were known as the Judaizers. And the Judaizers tried to convince the Galatian Christians that, most of them being Gentiles, that the Gentiles had to become Jewish and be circumcised and keep the Mosaic law in order to be saved, and that you're not a real Christian unless you keep the whole Mosaic law and all of its commandments. And Paul tells them that this is a false teaching. This is a kind of syncretism, because the religion of the Judaizers was a false syncretistic religion that tried to combine Christianity with the Pharisaic legalism and the false Judaism of the Jewish leaders. It was a legalistic religion that mixed Christianity with the beliefs of the Pharisees. And Paul tells them that this is not true, and that they are going back to their old ways of following the course of this world rather than following God. They are in danger of going back to their old ways, not necessarily worshiping idols, but holding to a false satanic religion invented by the demons of this world, rather than holding fast to the one true religion of biblical Christianity. And there was a time in our lives, too, when we did not know God. There was a time in our lives when we had no Savior, when we were lost and on a path to hell. But then God intervened by His grace and by His mercy and rescued us from that path that we were on. He delivered us from the way that is broad and narrow that leads to death, and put us on the way that is straight and narrow that leads to everlasting life. The way that is difficult, but in the end leads to heaven. God saved us. He forgave us and changed us, as Paul celebrates in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Paul writes about what God has done for every one of us. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. God saves us, not because of the good things that we have done, but because only by His grace and mercy, because He loves us in spite of our sins, because God sent His one and only Son to deliver us from the wrath to come. God saves us from the wrath and justice that we deserve by His Son because of His great love for us. He saved us through the preaching of the gospel. And God used the Apostle Paul to go to the city of Galatia, and he went to the Jews and to the Gentiles and proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord of all, and that only in Him is salvation found. And the Galatian Christians turned from their sins and their idolatry to Jesus. And now these false teachers want to lead them astray from Jesus to syncretism. And in our world today, we are in danger of falling into syncretism, of following Jesus plus the sins of our world, Jesus plus the idols of our world. And we can be pressured by our world and by our culture to not speak out against the idols of our age, the American idols that hold our world in bondage. God designed us to be worshipers, and if we do not worship God, we will worship idols instead. And so the question is not, will we worship? The question is instead, what or who are we worshiping? Will we worship God alone, or will we worship God plus idols? Most people today in America claim to believe in God. Most people in America are not atheists. Most people claim to believe in God, and they may even claim to believe in the Bible and the God of the Bible. But the problem is, their understanding of God is not how God is depicted in the Bible. They claim to believe in God, but the God they believe in is not the God of Scripture. Because the God of the Bible is holy. The God of the Bible is righteous and just. The God of the Bible, his eyes are too pure to give approval to the sins of our culture today. Those who are lost do not know the true God of the Bible, and they are instead enslaved to sin and idolatry. And idols are more than just statues of wood and stone. An idol is anything that comes between us and God. An idol is anything that we put before God. An idol could be something that is inherently sinful, or something that is not inherently sinful in and of itself, but that we have made an idol in our lives, and that hinders our walk with God. For some people, their idol is drug addiction or other addictions. For some people, their idol is gambling. For some people, their idol is alcohol. Their idol could be their favorite hobby, pastime, or entertainment. Their idol could be their job. Their idol could be money. Or their idol could be sexual immorality. An idol can be anything in creation that we put before God. And that is why, as Christians, we need to be reminded constantly of the dangers of idolatry. That's why, in the book of 1 John, John ends his letter by saying, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." We are all in danger of being ensnared by the deceitfulness of idolatry, because idols lie to us. They try to deceive us. They try to lead us astray. Idols promise freedom and happiness and joy, but in the end, they lead to death. Idols can never deliver on their promises because they are false gods. They always bring corruption and bondage, and in the end, death. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not go to heaven. And why is that? Because the idolater reveals by his actions the true state of his heart. The idolater reveals by his love of sin that he does not really love God. He does not have a heart that has been born again. The way of idolatry is the way to hell. But Christians who have believed in Jesus have been transformed, so they no longer delight in idols. They instead delight in God and his ways. They find their happiness and true joy in Jesus rather than the idols of our age. They have been supernaturally changed by God. And the life of a Christian is a walking miracle. Your life as a believer in Jesus is evidence for his resurrection. When people look at you, they see someone who has been changed. They see someone who doesn't live the same life that they do, a person who is not enslaved to idolatry. And they wonder why and how you could live such a life. How can you find such delight in Jesus and not delight in what we delight in? To see a man or woman transformed by Jesus Christ is an amazing thing. It is a miracle when you see someone who is at one time given up to sin. And when that person is saved, they are given a new heart and new desires. God puts the fear of him in their hearts, and they no longer live the life they once did. Their life is not sinless, they're not perfect, but their life has changed. And that changed life is evidence for the truth of the gospel, that only God could do this. Only God could transform that man or woman who was at one time enslaved to sin. America's problem is that it doesn't know God and worships and serves false gods instead. And so what is the solution to America's problem? The solution is for America to know the true God and to repent in turn from her idols. And so how can America know the one true God? God can only be known through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone gives us the knowledge of God. Jesus Christ came into the world to give us salvation, freedom, and forgiveness and knowledge. And he does so through his words and by his life and death and resurrection. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the only way to be saved. And unless people believe in Jesus, they will not be saved. Because he alone lived the sinless life. He alone was raised from the dead for our salvation and our justification. It says in John chapter 1, verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Moses gave us the law, and the law shows us our need for salvation, because all of us have broken the law. The law cannot save us. The law was never intended to save us. The law can only show us our need for a Savior. And our Savior is Jesus, who alone can give us grace and can give to us the way of salvation through faith in Him. He alone can rescue us from sin and from hell. And as believers in Jesus, we are called to tell America how they can be saved. We are called to proclaim to America how they can be delivered from the bondage of idolatry. And that comes through faith in Jesus Christ and repentance from sin. Jesus Christ alone can save our nation. The solution to what ails us as a nation cannot be found in politics. It cannot be found in government, because no politician can deliver us from our sins. Jesus Christ alone can save us. No law can save us. And the passing of more laws might restrain sin, but they cannot change the heart. No law, no elected official can change our hearts. You see, America has a heart problem. And simply passing more laws is like putting a Band-Aid on a severely bleeding wound. And that person is going to die from blood loss unless Jesus Christ radically transforms their life. He alone can save America. America will not be saved until it turns to Jesus Christ. And you and I have an opportunity to be His witnesses here and now. We have the high privilege of sharing Jesus and His love with others, of pointing people to Jesus who alone can save them. You and I don't have the power to save anyone. We cannot change anyone's heart. But what we can do is point people to Jesus. We can call upon people to turn to Him and to repent. And people may call us hateful for doing that. They may slander us and reject us. But if we are truly loving, we will plead with them. We will speak the truth in love to them and pray that the Holy Spirit would use our words to change their hearts, that they would change their ways and turn to Jesus, and that He would deliver them from their sins. And so let us pray now that God would use us this week to be His witnesses where He has placed us. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Jesus Christ can save America, that America is not too far gone yet, and that while people are still alive, there is still a chance for them to turn to Jesus, Your one and only Son. Father, we pray that You would give us boldness this week and courage and wisdom as we declare Jesus Christ to others, that the people and the families and children of this town would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, we pray that You would deliver us from idols, that You would deliver us from bondage and from whatever is holding us back, that we would seek Your face, that we would pursue You and desire You more than anything in this world. Father, may You be glorified in our lives this day. We pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. And our closing benediction for today is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Amen. And you are dismissed in His peace.